As the dire impact of the coronavirus rolls on, the arts have had to come up with creative responses. The Educational Theater Association, the organization behind Thespian Societies at nearly 5,000 schools where kids are involved in theatrical pursuits, annually offers a festival at Indiana University. But this year, that institution canceled all summer activities on campus. So the International Thespian Festival in June needed to be creatively reconfigured. Here to tell us about how that's going to work is Julie Cohen Theobald, the executive director of the Educational Theater Association, which happens to have its international headquarters right here in Cincinnati. So, Julie, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you for having me.
Can you offer our listeners a quick sketch about the Educational Theater Association and what that means relative to the International Thespian Society?
Sure. So the Educational Theater Association is a national nonprofit organization that supports theater in schools across the country and also beyond in other countries. So we are directly honoring students and their achievements in theater. Lots of students get recognition for sports or academics. We are the organization that can honor them for theater. We also support their teachers with professional development and publications and content, a lot of which is moving online right now. And then we are the national advocate for the importance of theater in schools. So we work on national policy and state and local policy and help communities advocate to have theater in their schools. The International Thespian Society is one of our biggest programs. It's an honor society for students where they earn points for their work on stage and behind the scenes. And then when they receive the sufficient points, they're inducted. And it gives the teacher a tool to motivate them to get more involved. And then when they achieve different levels, it gives them national recognition and they become part of something bigger than the school.
I know that the Thespian Society came into existence back in the 1920s. Did the Educational Theater Association start at the same time?
It's one organization, but it began as the Thespian Society in 1929, where our founders came up with this idea of the Honor Society. That's how it started. Mm-hmm. And then 30 years ago, in the mid-80s, the organization changed the name from the Thespian Society to the Educational Theater Association as an umbrella that would include programs both for students as well as a professional society for teachers. So the Educational Theater Association broadened the scope to teachers.
Okay, that makes sense. Part of the reason I asked is because I was president of my high school's Thespian Society back in the 1960s, and I don't remember hearing anything about the Educational Theater Association. Now I know why. Being a high school thespian certainly played a part in my lifelong love and involvement in theater, so I'm pleased to be able to have this conversation with you.
That's amazing, and you're actually one of over 2 million alumni who were in the Thespian Society growing up.
In true theater fashion, you've proclaimed that the show must go on. So please fill us in on how the 2020 edition of the International Thespian Festival is going to unfold. Virtually, I understand.
Yes, we've seen so many students who are just crushed over their school shows getting canceled, and then it becomes their prom getting canceled and their graduation getting canceled. And there's just so much disappointment that we did not want to be one more thing that they've looked forward to, for some of them, for their whole high school career, to be one more thing to cancel and grieve. So we've seen some incredible creativity from artists and teachers right now in moving things online. You know, everything from my kids being in school online all day to artists doing concerts from their living room. So we thought this is an opportunity to be creative and to move the festival online. What that can do, actually, is give an opportunity to students who the festival may have been out of reach. Maybe they wouldn't have been able to afford to come or to travel. And so we're actually hoping that we're going to reach a whole lot more people. So like many teachers who have had to completely reinvent a career of teaching in a matter of weeks, we are now going through a reinvention of the festival to try to figure out which programming that we have from the live event can be translated into a virtual situation, and then also what can be special that maybe wouldn't have happened in a live environment. For example, you know, bringing in alumni or the Broadway community who may not have traveled to Indiana. So we're basically taking each element of our programming, our performances, our adjudications, our college auditions. We have a trade show, like a fair with vendors. You know, we have a big showcase at the end of it of some of the best in our competition, the International Thespian Excellence Awards. We're looking at each element and trying to figure out creatively how to bring it online.
How many people have routinely attended past festivals where you actually had a physical event?
About 5,000.
But you're expecting that you will have even more than that who are able to participate with this new format?
We are. We're hoping to exceed it. And we've just put out, you know, the announcement and we asked for initial interest, and we have a lot of interest. In fact, even from other countries like Bolivia and from Singapore and London and Dubai. So we are hoping that it will be more accessible for people who weren't able to travel and more affordable. And, you know, the commitment will be fewer days, and so it will be more flexible for people to find their way there and participate.
Is it going to be in the same time frame that the in-place festival would have happened?
It is. It's going to be the last week in June because everybody's holding the dates. You know, we have so many, it's such a convening of the theater industry, and we have over 60 colleges, and we have artists from all over the country that are coming to teach workshops to students, and so many schools that plan for this every year. So we wanted to keep it on the same dates, but we're going to have to look at the schedule very differently. For example, we'll have different time zones that are 3 or 4 hours apart, and people won't want to sit in front of a screen for 10 hours straight. So we're going to have to think about how to schedule things differently and more creatively, but we will go for the same last week in June.
You will also probably have attendees who are in various time zones, which will make it slightly more complicated for them to participate, I suppose.
Exactly. We need to make sure we hit the sweet spot where it will be convenient for everybody.
So let me ask you this. Having developed this, what sounds to me like a very innovative approach, do you imagine that future festivals might continue to have a virtual dimension like this?
Yes, and in fact, one of the things we've been talking about a lot with our team is some of these ideas we've been talking about for years, but it was always like one of those important things that we'll get to in the future. And sometimes what crisis can do is it can force you to go for it and take risks and figure it out. So we've talked about having a virtual component to our events. So perhaps there's a hybrid of a live event plus a virtual event, or perhaps there's multiple virtual events during the year. So I think that what we learn from this is definitely going to apply to our student festivals. It also will apply to our teacher conference and advocacy events and things like that.
It sounds like a silver lining, I guess, coming out of what I'm sure initially you had to step back, draw a deep breath and say, now how the heck are we going to make this work?
Absolutely. I think we're all trying to be as optimistic as possible during a lot of challenges, yeah. And this could be a silver lining.
Could you maybe step back and be philosophical for a moment and say why it was important to find a new way to do this rather than just saying, all right, we're just going to put this off and we'll have a new festival in 2021?
There are students who have been working their whole high school career to get to a level to be the best of the best. And one thing that our organization provides is a forum for that. It provides them a national stage. It provides them an opportunity to meet kids from beyond their world and just to see the power of theater and the inspiration it can provide and the opportunities for connection. You know, when you leave the live event every year, it's that energy and electricity from that event, it really carries us through the entire year. It's the pinnacle. It's the best of what we do. And so to lose that opportunity for these kids, you know, they've just had so many disappointments, and this is what they have to look forward to. We want it to be that thing that they can look forward to.
Well, I have to say, as someone who was involved as a thespian 50 or so years ago in high school theater, that sort of thing opens doors to careers that, who knows, who will be with you online, who years in the future will be theater professionals or theater goers and still bearing the impact of all that you've put together with this.
Yes, and I've been talking to some of our chapters who've had to cancel their events, and just like the ripple effects of a cancellation, it's the shows, but it's also the connections to college, and it's the scholarships, and it's the people that you might meet who you form a network with that leads to an opportunity that opens a door. And, you know, the negative effects of canceling can be turned around to think about what all those positive impacts were when we do have the event. Things that you might have taken for granted before, it really comes to life when you think about the loss of that happening. So, you know, there is just nothing like the feeling of being surrounded by your peers and the supportive environment the theater can provide. And we have that in spades at this event. So we wanted to give kids something to look forward to and to continue to be inspired. And it will be different. It won't be the same. But I think that also will be a learning experience. We've also had to learn and grow, all of us, by coming through these challenges.
Julie, what about the cost of registration? I have to imagine that you have different kinds of expenses. So obviously, you're not going to do this for free. But is the expense going to be similar for people who want to participate in it virtually as it would have been if they had been traveling to Indiana?
We're working through all that right now. They won't have the cost of travel. We also include in our registration the cost of room and board. Like, they get their dorm and food for the week, so that will be a savings. And then we're looking at the expenses of having the virtual event. We want to pay our artists. We know that many artists are out of work right now, and they deserve to be paid. We're looking at technology. So we're going to have to figure it out. I think we'll have, you know, different price points for different options, and we'll also have opportunities for students who can't afford it to apply for grants, and donors will be stepping up to help with that, because we don't want to turn people away, especially from a virtual event, because of cost.
Sure, and I understand that students and teachers who are already registered, you're reaching out to them to sort out their participation in this too.
Exactly. They'll have the option to get a refund or to apply a piece of that to the virtual event.
I've been talking with Julie Theobald, Executive Director of the Educational Theater Association, about plans for the virtual International Thespian Festival. For more information about the Educational Theater Association, the International Thespian Society, and this festival, follow the link that you'll find at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. Thanks so much for making time for this conversation.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing this to more people.
Best wishes for your success in June. I don't want to say the future of theater is depending upon this, but you will certainly have an impact on the future of theater.
Thank you. We always talk about that we're the pipeline for the future industry and for the future audience. These students in school, when they fall in love with theater, will be involved in theater for their whole lives. So that's why it's so important.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.